Well, good morning. It is good to see you here today and to worship in the house of God. And of course, as I said, we have Easter Sunday services coming up next week, sunrise service, 7:30, and then the 11 o'clock morning worship service. And today, we'll talking about the resurrection tomorrow, but of course today, as it is Palm Sunday, and normally we would talk about the cross and the crucifixion, but I decided to continue on with the names of Christ as I did last week. Remember, I was in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll be there again today. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, if you want to turn there. And I'm going to look at the last couple of names given to Christ this morning and this evening. This morning we'll look at the Everlasting Father, and tonight we'll look at Prince of Peace. We'll evaluate those. And again, I know today is Palm Sunday, the day before Easter, Sunday before Easter, but I still, we're talking about the names of Christ, and so I just felt like this is where we would go today, and then of course next week we have Easter, and I hope you can be here for the sunrise service. I know that's early for some of us, but I hope you can be here, and hope you can be a part of that. We will have the breakfast to follow. We're going to observe Lord's Supper that morning as well, but it'll just be a good time of worship, and just thanking God for sending Christ to die for us. And then, of course, the service in the 11 a.m. We'll celebrate again his resurrection. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read this verse. Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us and for everything you've given us in our lives. Lord, I know that we sin against you sometimes, and I know that I have, and I ask you forgive me for my sin, that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit, create within me a clean heart that I can be used of you today, that the words that come from my mouth will come from you, Lord, and flow from your throne. And I just pray that you would speak to every person in this congregation, that you would help us to learn more about who you are and what it means to be our everlasting Father, and that we would just understand the meaning of that and grab hold of that in our lives. Speak to us now, guide us through this service, and just bless us as we know that you will and as you want to. And it's all these things we pray and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you will stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, but just one short verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. May God bless the reading of the Word. Thank you. You may be seated. The Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Names that describe who Jesus is. Names given to us here by Isaiah, and of course this was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Christ was not alive at this time, but it was a prophecy of Christ coming. And I, if you remember a few years ago, I believe it was 05, around Christmas, that I went through Isaiah chapter 7, 8, and 9 to talk about the relation and the prophecy of the coming Christ and how it tied in what was going on in the time of Isaiah here and how it tied into the birth of Christ. You may remember that. And that's where we have the sign of the child born of the virgin. And then verse 6, when we come to it, says, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it gives those names, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. This morning we will look at the one Everlasting Father, as I've mentioned. We're going to be looking at what that means, and at least what I believe it means and how we can take that today. Now, in preparing the messages last week and this week, and any messages I do about the names of Christ here on out, there's only so much in commentaries and scholars that are more intelligent than I am can say about these things. So a lot of what I share are just thoughts that God has put in my mind, things from my heart. And so I hope that in some way God can speak to you and help you to understand how great these names are. that they are more than just titles, but they do have meaning, and they do carry importance with them. And when you take the names of Christ here in verse 6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, you take those names, take many of the other names given to Christ throughout the Bible, Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in its wings, Hiding Place, Faithful and True, Alpha and Omega, the Holy One, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, etc. You take all of the names of Christ given in the Bible, and maybe you've seen the t-shirt or the poster. Anybody have that poster hang on your wall? I want to say we had it here in the youth room at one time, but has all the names in Christ, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I Am, all those names of God, of Christ. Maybe you've seen that poster. Those are all names of Christ, and you take those. And too many to name today, and I can't think of them all today. But you take them all and you put them together, and it does, doesn't it? It gives you a somewhat of whatever glimpse we can have as human beings of who God really is and who Christ is. Another one, Kinsman Redeemer out of the Book of Ruth. And there's a song, even, by a group, a father-son duo. Their name was Aaron Jeffrey. They called themselves Aaron Jeffrey Benward. They sang a song called He Is back in the late 90s. And they go through the books of the Bible and say in Genesis, He's the breath of life, Exodus, Passover lamb. And all through the books of the Bible, the names of Christ in those books. And you listen to that song and how it puts Christ together and how the Bible really does tell us who God is, literally, but also figuratively. And that's why I harp so much on the names of God. And I hope that God is spoken to you last week and then will today and then in the coming weeks when we look at some of these other names. But without further ado, I guess, I'm sure you want me to get into the sermon. So, Everlasting Father. What does it mean to be everlasting? We think about the word everlasting. Maybe your mind immediately, I don't know, for some reason I think of a rubber band. I guess elastic and everlasting sound alike. But you also may think of the little pink bunny, remember? Was that in the 90s? Little Energizer Bunny, you know, they'd have a commercial and then the next commercial that was theirs, but it made it look like he was going through anyway. Never stops, everlasting, just keeps going well. We know it to be true about what? About Energizers, about batteries. What's true about them? They're not everlasting, are they? They wear out. Now, they may last a long time, but not in my digital camera, I can tell you that. But anyway, they call it everlasting. Maybe you think about the little pink bunny with the ears and the drum, but that's, you know, just the word they use because they want you to buy their batteries. When we talk about the Everlasting Father, everlasting means everlasting. And there is no, it's going to run out sometime and, you know, eventually it'll end. It means it's always. The idea of eternality, which apparently is not a word, but the idea of eternality, that He always has existed. And I've spoken about God's eternal, the principle of God's eternal existence before, so I won't harp on it much, but He has always existed. There's never been a time, nor will there be a time, where He does not or is not existing, or will not exist. He spans all of time, past, present, future, but even that doesn't describe how eternal He is. You say, well, how can past, present, and future not describe it? Because those are all man-made terms, and in our understanding of what time is, God transcends all time, and there is no past, present, and future. That's why it's so difficult for us to understand who God is in our finite minds. That He exists. He always exists. He's eternal. He's always there. Always was, is, and will be there. And that's the idea of eternality, of the everlasting part of God and who He is. And another important aspect of the everlasting nature of God is that it's an attribute that only our God has, only Yahweh God has. And I say Yahweh God because God is really a general word. You know, that's why we have the capital G for the God we serve and the little g for the other gods, because it's a general word. So I say Yahweh God to distinguish that He's the true God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God. Not some wooden statue, but the real true God. And He is the only way, only one. Yahweh God is the only one that can claim eternality, can claim the everlasting nature that He has. Now, I'm sure that there are other religions that'll say their gods are eternal. And I have no proof other than to say they're not. Just I know they're not. I mean, I guess you just gotta, you know, take me out of my word. I'm an expert, right? I went to seminary. I'm an expert witness. So what I say is true, and they're wrong. But anyway, God is the only true eternal God, only one that has ever existed of all times and will exist. No other God can claim that, and that's just the fact. And you can argue it with it until your face is blue with people, but it's just the fact that He is the only one that is eternal. He's the only one that's creator, too, which is another aspect that only He can claim. But He is the only one that is eternal. No other God, false God, can claim that, of always existing, ever existing. So it's an attribute that only our God can claim, an attribute that of the idea of omnipresence, all everywhere, always omnipresence being that He's always anywhere He wants to be, He's everywhere. But that does in some way speak to His eternality, because obviously if you're everywhere, then you're anywhere and of all times of places. So it's and I know that's getting very deep and theological, but that's the truth. He's all time, all places. And that's what is meant by everlasting. And I think it's important that Isaiah wrote in this verse, in his writings, in his tradition, that he put in there, when he put the names of God, that one of them had to have the tag everlasting on it. I think it was important that it had to have that, because He is. And He is, that little phrase there that I just said really is deeper than just He is everlasting. He is. I mean, He is. Does that make any sense? He's always there, always existing. The present tense part of the verb of being in English. You can tell I have trouble with English. So he always is present. He is present. He is always there. That's the idea of eternality. He is. Not He will be, and not He was, but He is. Always. Always present. Always there. That's His eternality. That's His everlasting nature. That's important for us to understand. But another part, another aspect of that eternality is the power that is implied with that everlasting ability that He has, the eternal nature of God. The power that He has, that He cannot be defeated in any way. I mean, when you think about, and in no way am I going to say Batman is God, but you think about our comic book superheroes, you know, Batman's been around since, what, the 30s? So in some way, he's everywhere he goes. If he was 40 in 1920, he's still 40 today in 2008. How that happened, I don't know. But it's that idea that we think of our heroes that way, don't we? I know it's comic, but that's the way we think of them. That they always are there. They never age, and nothing changes about them. Now, those are all fake and man-made. But God, in that sense, if you want to tie it over and use that illustration, we think about our heroes as they have that power. They can't be beaten. They can't be defeated, because they're always there. They span the decades and almost century of time that they just exist along and along and along. They're always beating the bad guy, always there, always doing their job. And then it's their power. That's we attribute to them with that power. Well, that's how God is. God is, I mean, the idea that God has always existed, has always been there, has always been around, speaks to nothing else but the immense power that He has. I mean, if you're eternal, you're powerful. And that's just for us to think that way. That's just our mindset, that if God, and it's because we're not eternal, right? As human beings, we're finite. We are corrupted. We are going to pass away. We're going to die. And we had a beginning. We'll have an end on this earth. We will live with God eternally by His grace if we believe in Christ. But we have a beginning and we will have an end on this earth. And so for someone to be eternal, to never begin, never end, is greater, far greater than anything we could ever imagine, anything that we could ever attain on our own in any way. And so it attributes great power to God. And it's that strength, that the everlasting strength of God. It's just more powerful than we can imagine. But also it speaks to the idea that He does not wither, He does not corrupt, He does not age, etc. Whatever word you want to put in there, He doesn't fall apart, He doesn't get older, He doesn't corrupt, and corrupt in the sense of aging and His body corrupts. He's not corrupt either. He's perfect and without sin. But I mean in the sense of we corrupt in our flesh, our body gets older and ages. He does not. He that is not who He is. It's who we are, not who He is. And that's part of being eternal. And it's important for us to understand that about God, that He is not the same as we are in the flesh. Now, I know that Christ became flesh. He made Himself flesh for our benefit, but He is still God, and He lasts forever. He's ongoing. He never will end. He will always be God. He always has been God, always will be God, and always is God. And that's the important part. And that's why God said, "I am that I am." Now, some would say that you can translate, "I will be that what I will be," that was what the translation was, but that just meant that He will be whatever He needs to be whenever He needs to be it. But we translate it, "I am that I am," that He's always here, always God. And that's a good way, when you say Everlasting Father, a good way to say it. You know, a Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, always God. It's another way you could say it. His title is Always God. Come here, Always God. That's His name. He's always there with us. So, and that idea of an everlasting Father, I think it makes a lot of sense. You say, He's always there for me, which I don't want to jump ahead because that's my whole next 20 minutes, but He's always there for me. Not 20 minutes. It won't be that much longer, I promise, but that's my next point. So anyway, we need to worship the everlasting God. And I know that you've probably read this verse 10 million times and quoted it, and you know, in Sunday school you probably sang some jingle to it, but He's everlasting Father. There is no end beginning. He's always present, always there for us, and it means all those things: His strength, His existence, His power, His love, His purity, His holiness, His righteousness, everything about who God is there, always is, always will be, always was. In our understanding of time, but He transcends even that. And you can't understand what that means, I can't understand what it means, but it's true. He's not past, present, and future, He's always there. And we just don't understand it, but He's eternal. He's eternal. And the best way we can describe it is that He's always past, present, future. Those are the only words we can describe it in some other way. And I don't know how to explain any better than that. But that is the God we worship. So if you're going to say you're a Christian, you're going to say you worship the true God, then you must understand that He's eternal, everlasting, always present, omnipresent idea. That's how you have to attribute to Him. And you need to worship Him, not just as God that's sitting in the rocking chair with the beard, but as my powerful, eternal, heavenly Father. That is who He is. Worship Him as the everlasting God. But then I want to talk about this idea that I almost jumped into and ruined a minute ago. But the idea of He is the everlasting, and then the last part, Father. The everlasting Father. Now, Father has very strong meanings in all of human life. I mean, any culture you go to, they may not call that guy Father, but whatever the name they have for it, it means the same, right? I mean, it's the same semblance. Whether it's Abba in the Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever that was, where in the Bible when you read Abba God, He is our Abba Father, you know, or whether it's you and I saying Father, which how many of us really call our dads Father? You know, some do, maybe you do, but I never called my dad. I never said, "Father, come here." I mean, when I hear Father in that sense, I'm thinking some movie about the 1800s when they used to do that. But we don't say Father anymore. We don't say, "This is my mama and this is my father." We say what? Mom and Daddy. But the idea that He's our everlasting Father He's our everlasting Abba. He's our dad. He's our daddy, and that's why I don't call my dad. I know I'm 31, but I call him daddy still. I mean, he's always going to be daddy. It's like I was still two or whatever when I could talk four. But he's always was daddy, always will be. And I still call my mom mama. I mean, just like my brother makes fun of me sometimes, and we fight about it. But I say daddy and I say mama, because that's who they are. It's not mother and father. Mother and father is something else. But they're special. And it's that word that you say to your dad, you're my daddy because you're special to me. And that's who the father, that's what it means in our culture. Now we will say, someone says, who's your father? That's who he is. But they're daddy. And it's a special person. And all cultures have it. Whether they're calling father or daddy or whatever, all of them have that idea. And I don't care if you go to the bush in Africa, they have a daddy. And they have a name for it. And that's a special man that gave birth to them through their mom. So anyway, that's who that is. So we understand the idea of father. We understand that. And I think that's why Isaiah used everlasting father. I think that's why he used that title, that name. Because we understand everlasting, even though we may not fully grasp its meaning, we know what it means. We can have some idea what it means. And we understand father. We understand that it's someone that is close to us. You know, you think of the idea of a fatherly care. It's someone who exudes power over us and watches over us, someone who loves us, cares for us, protects us, beats up the bad guy when they're mean to us. How many daughters, the husband treats them wrong and the dad goes and beats them up or tells them to do something. I know my dad never did that, but my sister's ex-husband did some things he shouldn't have done and took some money he shouldn't have taken, and my dad went over there and said, you'll put it back, and he put it back. He wasn't going to mess with that, and you better be glad we were in Texas. But anyway, but that's who the dad is, right? You mess with this little girl, and he's going to be in jail for a couple weeks because he's going to beat you senseless. That's who the dad is. I mean, if we went back there and messed with Emily, Barry would try to beat us up. He probably wouldn't, but he would try. That's his granddaughter, and he's going to protect her. And if you mess with one of Steve's kids or grandkids or any of you men that feel that way, that you have your kid, that's just the fatherly instinct. You protect your family. You watch over your family. A father watches over, protects them, loves them, cares for them, gets them out of trouble. They go do something they shouldn't do, and you get them out. Whether it's go to jail or whether it's, get sent to the principal's office at school. My dad had to get me out in an F one time because I argued with the teacher. But he got me out of it. I mean, he took care of it. And I didn't say some nice things about my teacher, but he came and took care of that for me. It was like last week of school. And that's what dads do. They get us out of trouble, don't they? And it doesn't matter how many times you break their heart, they come and do it anyway. And moms do that too, but it's not everlasting mother. No offense. It's everlasting father. And that's who God is. He gets out of trouble, protects us, watches us, loves us, disciplines us when he's wrong. We are his prized possession. And I don't have kids. I don't have any kids, but I can imagine what it'd be like just, holding Emily and playing with Hayden and everything. I can understand what it would be like in some way to have my own kid, and I'd probably die of a heart attack in 2 weeks, just stressed out all the time about their health and where they are and how they're doing. I don't think I'd ever be able to handle it emotionally, but I just know that bond would be so strong that they would be my prized possession. That you want them to be good, you want to discipline them, but you're there to protect them and love them and everything. Raising the right, that's who a father is. That's how we understand the role of the father. And when we take that, the idea of what an earthly father is then, and all those things I said, and then you take that over and apply it to God, and while an earthly father provides for his family materially and emotionally and takes care of them in that sense, God provides for us, and God provides for us materially and emotionally too, but it's more spiritually, isn't it? I mean, while an earthly father, our fathers on earth, those men will take care of us in that sense. God takes care of all of our needs. He does provide materially and provisionally in all those senses, but he provides in all those senses, but he also provides for our spiritual needs. And His provisions are superior to all others. And there's nothing else that anyone can ever do for us more than God can do. And we are His children. He is our Father. And in the same way our earthly father sacrificed for us, and I know my dad did for me, and I'm sure your fathers did for you, and I'm sure you as fathers and mothers probably did for your kids, or will if you have kids. You know, in the same way that we sacrifice for our children, God sacrifices for us, and even greater. His only son, the only one He had, He sacrificed for us. It's an undying love. It's a very great illustration to use, Everlasting Father, for Isaiah to put that in, for us to understand that that's who God is. He's not just up there tyrannically with, you know, His little scepter and sitting on His throne with His crown and telling us what to do, but He loves us and He cares about us. We are His children. He is our Father. And we are not to see God as a mean person or God is disconnected from us, but He cares. The same way that your father cares about you, and I hope you can understand that. I hope you had a father that did. But in the same way that your father cares for you, or whoever you would consider your father cares for you and cared for you, God does in even greater amounts. That's who God is. He watches over us, cares for us. He is our everlasting Father. It is the love and faithfulness of God that is eternal. And that's the important thing to understand. That this idea of being Father that God is to us, this idea of caring for us, providing for us, being our Father, is eternally there. It's eternally existent. So you take the idea of eternal, everlasting, you take the idea of Father, and you put those two together like peanut butter and chocolate, and you got something great. It's they come together, and it is God, who is our Father, who cares about us and watches us, but it's not just for day and tomorrow or a couple weeks, it's forever. All times, eternally there for us as Father. That is who the everlasting Father is. And in the same way that your parents wanted the best for you, God wants the best for us. That's why He disciplines us. That's why He chastises us. That's why He leads us in the right way. And some of the men here tonight went to the planners meeting last Tuesday, and the speaker there, you would know who he is, so I guess you would know who he is, so I won't mention his name, but he was put in jail, and he was telling us that he knew that what he did was wrong. He didn't think he deserved to be in jail as long as he was, but he said more than anything, he felt like it was God's way of disciplining us. You guys remember when he said that he really felt like the punishment he was getting was God's discipline of him. And that's why he was getting what he was getting. But that's why, you know, that's why God allows discipline in our lives. That's why He chastises us that way, because He loves us and He cares for us. That's why our dads spank us, send us to our room for a month or whatever. And that's why God does that, because He wants us to be the best we can be, and He wants the best for us. And He doesn't just want it today and tomorrow. He wants it forever. And so the question then that is begged this morning, is He your Father? Is He your Father, and is He your everlasting Father? Is He a part of your life? You know, it's always tragic when I hear people say that their dads aren't a part of their life, or their moms aren't a part of their life, and I've heard people say that. Maybe some of you have to experience that. I'm talking about your earthly father. Maybe some of you have to experience that. And I talked to someone one time that her dad said to her that, you know where I am. If you want to see me, you can come see me. That was his attitude. He didn't care if he saw her or not. Her father said that. And I couldn't imagine that, but there are people like that. But anyway, that it's sad whenever that happens, because you want that man to be in your life. And in the same way, we want God to be in our life. He is God, He is Father, and He's everlasting. Is He a part of your life? Is He your Father? Is He your everlasting Father? Are you letting Him be a part of your life? Letting Him protect you? Letting Him guide you? Letting Him care for you? Letting Him watch over you? Letting you discipline you? Letting yourself be His prized possession? Because God wants that in your life. That's why Isaiah said, everlasting Father. God wants that in your life. He wants to be that Father figure. He wants to be there for you. Are you letting Him be a part of your life? Is He your Father? Have you believed in Christ? Have you called on Him for salvation and built that relationship with Him? Is He your Father? Is He your everlasting Father? Our invitation this morning is number 600. And whatever God has spoken to you about this morning, whatever He has laid on your heart, I pray that this morning you will come and be obedient to that. Maybe you say, you know what, He is my Father, but I'm not letting Him be the part of my life I need Him to be. Or maybe you're saying that I worship Him and I know He loves me and I need to hold on to Him. I need Him for something right now. And I need to ask Him for that help or whatever it is. And He wants to help. He wants to be there for you. Whatever God has done, He wants to do in your life, I pray this morning you'll let Him do it. Father, You are, Lord Jesus, You are our everlasting Father. Everlasting Father, we come to You this morning. We know that You always have been, and like I said, there's no way our words can describe how eternal You are. The best we can say is past, present, and future. But God, You're always there, always existing, always there for us, caring for us, loving us, and it's eternal. It was before we ever knew we existed, and before anyone else knew we existed, but You knew. You knew who we'd be, You knew where we'd be, You knew what we'd be. You knew the things we would do wrong and the things we would do right. And we just pray this morning that You would guide us, that You would forgive us of our sins, that You would help us to see, God, that we need You to be that Father in our lives, that everlasting Father, that we need that a part of our lives. And it's so easy as we go through the week to get involved with things, to get involved with work or school or hobbies or other things that are fine to do and are part of life that we need to be part of our lives. But we sometimes can neglect You. And we don't let You be the Father You want to be to us. And may we resolve this morning that we are going to let that happen. Speak to us now as we have this time of invitation. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit and love us. In Jesus' name we pray.